as I walk to the end of another Saturday to keep my thoughts in a line. The ever-changing world I've been landing back in books. I've been reading the sections on things that seem so unimportant. Cover up when I'm pressing my nose on the window. I'm starving for something that I find. Fight the cloudy day, it's coming soon like it was written on that sign out on the lawn, and it's been screaming.
And that was Lousy Trouts with that new song here in the WUWM studios. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
So I'm going to ask you guys to introduce yourselves. And since you're all multi-instrumentalists, if you could mention all or most of the instruments that you play. So if we can
Absolutely.
Start with you, please, Jack.
Okay. Hi, I'm Jack. I've been playing banjo for about a year. I've been playing guitar since about senior year of high school. And then playing the djembe lately, too. It's been a lot of fun. That's what I've been What have you guys been doing?
I've been playing the tin whistle and the djembe. I'm Jordan, playing the tin whistle.
It's Jordan.
Track something of that one CD we made. Mandolin, guitar, djembe. That's all I play, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bass, guitar.
Yeah, you do.
You slap the bass once in a while.
I'm Alex Heaton, and I play, in Lousy Trouts, I play bass mostly. Some djembe, some air organ, some glockenspiel, and of course, tin whistle.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That's us.
First of all, glockenspiel, that's like a vibraphone?
It's like a little mini, like a, yeah, like a xylophone.
Okay.
We have it on the album, and I didn't actually have mallets, so I used a Sharpie pen, and I covered it with masking tape to kind of dull the notes a little bit, and it works really well.
Nice.
But, yeah, I guess I'm not a professional glockenspiel player.
Like almost.
You like to be savvy with whatever's around.
And your new album is titled The Guy Who Gave Everything Away But Sold His Boat. I love that title.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And tell me a little bit about how, a little bit more about how that came together. So the Polar Vortex was in part to thank for this project coming together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all live like within two blocks of each other. Jack and I a block apart. So it was really easy for us to at least get from there to there without having to brave too much cold. And then we were okay. Once we were inside, we were
Yeah, I just I had a lot of songs on the side that I had been writing when I was waiting to release the Animals and Human Attire record.
Which and you were playing a lot of banjo.
I was playing a ton of banjo.
I was playing a lot of mandolin. We're just like, oh, yeah. We can play these together and they sound cool.
For sure. And then we just tried to play them as fast as like humanly possible. And then we realized that we should probably stop doing that and just like learn them.
Yeah.
And then it came together.
Yeah, for the health of your wrist and your stomach.
Right.
Too. Jack's body's quickly deteriorating because of the banjo ripping it apart. Literally.
Literally.
We don't need to talk about that.
He's a little embarrassed.
It's mostly healed though now.
I was gonna say I do really like those fast songs, like Savior and
Thanks.
Cave. Yeah, those are really fun. And actually, let me ask you about that. The Cave. I really like that song in particular. The line that you're cold enough to be a stone, because especially this winter, I think people can really relate to that. So,
yep.
How did you guys create the songs individually? Did you have one person leading or?
I wrote the skeletons for everything, and then when we got together, like that's when it kind of started. Like we started just working out like different parts that we'd kind of all written at a time or another. Like Bongo Song, I wrote the lyrics to that just in the car one day on the way down to Chicago. I don't really like to be too repetitive through like my writing, so if I struggle writing a song, I usually think it's because I'm bored with the instrument that I'm playing, so I usually hop over to something new, and then I just
You call JoJo over and say, hey, come and play with me.
Yeah. Or she actually gets a lot of the songwriting. Or, I mean, we get a lot of the songwriting done together. Like, the ideas start
to formulate. He writes mostly all the lyrical stuff, but we've, like, definitely bounce off, like, the musical ideas part of it a lot more than anything else. I'll throw in, like, a line every, like, five songs, maybe, but...
And crucial titles.
Yes, the very, very good titles strewn about everywhere.
For sure.
Including our band
title. I still can't remember the CD name.
Yeah, that's okay.
I don't know if I'll ever get it.
Yeah, Alex, you mentioned the band name, and when I first said that out loud to you, Jack, you laughed at that, saying that you still think you kind of get a kick out of the name. Tell me about how you guys came together as a group. It seems like a fun story.
Lousy Trouts.
My 23rd birthday, we just set down an iPhone and we're like, let's do this on my 23rd birthday. This is all I want is an album.
So just right like now. Play random guitar stuff.
So Jordan threw down a bunch of guitar, and then me and my friend Justin Zander were just in the room, and we just started singing over everything that she was doing on guitar. And then we did like a four.
And it's beautiful. They are amazing poets. You can find it on Bandcamp. it's still floating around out there.
It is on Bandcamp. So if you're searching Lousy Trouts on Bandcamp and you come across the other Lousy Trouts, that's still us. Some guy in Nashville actually found those, and he came up to me. He's like, dude, I love my jarb. Because, like, that was the album.
Yep.
I love my jarb.
Did you meet that guy?
Yeah, he was so excited to see us. And then we didn't play any of those songs. And he was like, oh, my God, you actually play real stuff. He was, like, the best guy, I think. We went on tour recently with, like, our sister band, brother band. What do you call that?
All of us went on tour with Ugly Brothers. So it was 9 people in the car. And also
10 people.
Josh Backus from Grasping at Straws.
Yeah.
But we went on a 2-week tour. All the way to Pittsburgh, and then all the way back through Nashville. It was really fun.
So we needed a name for this group that we made all these songs for, and I quickly thought of the worst band name I could think of, which is Lousy Trouts.
It's pretty lousy.
And we, you know, made an album cover and released it minutes later.
Yep.
Kind of stuck.
Yeah, I really enjoy the sense of humor that you guys have and the fun that you seem to have with both your lyrics and titles, as well as just, you know, playing here and I assume in front of crowds as well. Tell me a little bit about the title of the album then, The Guy Who Gave Everything Away But Sold His Boat. And I like the either the conscious or unconscious decision to not put a comma in there. So it's just...
No comma.
Well, that comes from my bad grammar. My mom was actually a grammar teacher for a while. Or she was substitute teaching in grammar. Anyway, she really likes grammar. And I think I subconsciously blocked that out, and I just don't use grammar. I just don't need it. No. I kind of think of it as like...
What did that guy, that awesome
there was a
book
dude who,
about it?
There was a dude who left a comment on our Facebook page who can probably describe this better than I can, because he actually wrote this like...
It could have been like a full 3 chapters
It was
of
like
a book.
He wrote like at least 500 words, like a 500 word paragraph about the title of that album.
The guy being a person.
The guy
who
being
for
a person
some reason needed to sell everything.
For some reason he couldn't
gave away.
He couldn't sell the Trouts.
It all made a lot of sense actually.
The Trouts were too lousy for him to sell, so he just ended up giving them away, but eventually he had to sell his boat and he had to go trout fishing on his own without the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the guy on the cover of the album.
Who's kind of marooned on that little island.
He is marooned
with the scary
on the island,
trees.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yep, see, it all comes together. It's art.
It's just, we're writing this right now, I don't know.
Yep.
But the reality of that album title name is Jordan couldn't remember the song title, The Guy Who Lost Interest in the World and Later Regained It. And so she said that, you know, the album title sentence, and we were like, well... That should be our album title.
Immediately. It's kind of fun. I really like having just like really, really base concepts, like nothing too crazy, like through my songwriting. Like a lot of my songs probably come from like drawing pictures. So I'll draw the pictures first, then I'll kind of take notes on the side like while I'm doing that, and then kind of just have like these like little ideas that could probably turn into something if I just like put the time into them later. And then most of them do. It's just like what I decide to like actually spend my time on, what songs should I grow and what songs are the most potent, like with the people that I'm with, and which ones are like, which ideas are taking off quicker. And I get like the images stuck in my head. So like the imagery itself almost comes from like drawing the pictures. And then, you know, in later songs, I'm hoping that becomes more present.
Music videos?
No,
come on, let's make some videos.
We do have the video coming out that'll be cool. We're going to start filming again tomorrow. We already filmed a couple scenes at Bremen Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Northern Bayou has...
That one does have a video. That one I just did with like an iPhone stop motion camera. It was a rainy day. It took me like 4 hours.
Only took me 4 hours in the rain.
Well, it's interesting about starting with the image, because when I first came to your webpage and I saw the image for your new album, it immediately kind of gave me this almost like a fantasy book kind of feeling to it. And then the rest of your music, I saw a review of your album online by Kent Heberling of Those Who Dig, and he wrote that it's a very strong showing, and much like the title, combines grandiosity and grassroots. And I thought that really hit the nail on the head. I love the combination of kind of this fable-like storytelling as well as just you're having a fun time, and some of it may seem nonsensical, but there's hidden meaning to it.
It's all leading somewhere, for sure. Yeah. So it's even the parts that I feel like are a little bit nonsensical at this moment of, you know, I mean, the longer you work on things and the longer you, I mean, like the songs kind of like become a part of your identity then, because you're singing them all the time. So it's like you're going to keep coming up with more and more reasons why that song makes sense to you, or like why that, like the best songs to me are songs that are like you can tell, or like the artist is like living them at the same time, or like you can tell that song was written to like specifically help the artist like get through like this mental thing that they have.
And yet it applies to other people too. Like there's some of the songs that at first I didn't know what it meant, but then later I was like, oh, this totally makes sense for this exact thing that I'm going through right now.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess there's a little bit of there's a sense of like malleableness. Used that word before. I don't know if
it's applicable in like multiple situations.
There's my one bad grammar again. Yeah.
Yeah.
This song is called the Bongo Song, played on a djembe.
Performed on a broken djembe, that's Bongo Song by Milwaukee's own Lousy Trouts. Talking about your style as a band, you called yourself on your website bluegrass-ish.
Yeah.
And how else would you describe your sound?
It's not that we don't describe ourselves as bluegrass. I don't necessarily feel like I am ever going to like pigeonhole myself into like one genre. Really.
We like playing bluegrass a lot.
We do. I'm in a bluegrass band called Thistledown Thunders, actually, that plays at Bremen Cafe like every Wednesday. So like, I mean, it's kind of coming through like a little bit, but I mean, a lot of that was I started playing banjo a lot, and it's like these guys want to jam. Like, sweet, let's do it. Like,
And there's how many bands represented here? Then there's maybe five or so.
Let's see.
Say them out in your brain out loud. Wow. I can't speak.
There's probably like 8 bands.
Yeah. He's in like 3 or 4 or 5. I'm in like 3 or 4 or 5. He's in like
there
3 or 4 or 5. 15? We're going to go 7. With 15.
There are 7 right now in this room. There wow. are 7 bands that we're in. Yes.
I was almost there.
That's cool. You mentioned the Calamity Janes, and we also had Miles Coyne in here, and hopefully getting more people. Seems mm-hmm. like there's something really cool happening in Milwaukee, especially with bluegrass music and folk music.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people coming together, collaborating. What's it like for you guys right now to be in Milwaukee?
Oh, it's awesome. We're actually, I mean, now that you mentioned that, we're operating under like this umbrella called Bread King Collective, which hence Breadfest. I don't know if you heard about that at all.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's happening up in River West. That's combining a whole ton of Milwaukee bands. And I mean, last year it was like just kind of a punk fest, and then we had like a couple like one-off shows that were happening at the same time.
But the folky part of it, it's like all of our best friends everywhere. Like,
yeah, it's really
every
wonderful.
Band is just like our ultimate favorite
yeah,
people.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Everyone knows each other's songs, and it almost kind of feels like you can just walk out any night and like you know somebody's song so well that you can just like hop up on stage and just kind of like, hey, I'm gonna do a banjo part for this at an open mic or something. Like,
and a lot of the bands have songs specifically where they want everybody to hop on stage, like literally everybody mm-hmm. in the audience. I know for Ugly Brothers when we do Rabbit in the Ground.
Yep,
so that's the yeah. best.
Yeah.
So it's yeah, it's been really really great. I really think that Milwaukee has one of the most special music scenes out there right now.
As an example of that, like my friend Johanna Rose and I are doing like this basketball.
Oh yes,
tournament called Bandsketball, and we had 32 teams, single elimination tournament. But 32 different bands, and that's not even like I think we could have done 64.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a bigger headache to schedule it all, but. Like, just as an example of how many different bands there are, pretty much in a very centrally located place.
Basketball is awesome.
In River West. And there's also bands in Bayview and all other places, too. It was really cool. There was, like, a lot of people there that weren't even playing and just came and watched. Kind of as more of an example of how everybody's just kind of intertwined and digging everybody's stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's back to that. One of the big things that I think all of us are, that's kind of on all of our minds, is just kind of bridging the gaps between like different musical genres and just kind of trying to bring everybody together and bringing everyone up to the level of realizing like what a great music scene this is and like how working together with like every single scene that's like happening at the same time. And mix matching your shows, playing like a punk band, playing with like indie bands and like just all over the place. And just by doing that, the amount of growth that just kind of happens in the music community is unbeatable. I mean, like, this is such a small city, but it's like there's so many bands and everybody can make it out to each other's shows very easily.
I think because it's so connected, it helps everyone kind of get more into it.
Mm. And so just a lot of fun. Everyone benefits at the same time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, it's really, yeah, bringing the whole city up at the same time instead of I don't know.
Tearing it down.
Especially
instead of being like picky and choosy about the things you're doing, just like recognizing that there's younger bands out there, mm-hmm. And you're helping them out, you know, just as much as they're helping you out. I mean, it's like it's paying your dues.
There's very little competition. Yeah. It's just cooperation and
yeah, for sure.
And lots
of
hugs.
I think especially if all Milwaukee bands influence each other, because we're at each other's shows all the time. So other Milwaukee bands are really influencing us rather than, say, bands from New York or California. Mm-hmm. Like, so our influences are localized to this city, which I think gives at least the chance of something unique emerging. Sort of like the DC hardcore scene. Mm-hmm. It was very different than the scene in California because they were all influenced by each other.
Yep.
And really kind of paid attention to each other as opposed to what was going on a national level.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Absolutely. So yeah, we're all growing off of each other a lot, and
it's just a lot of fun.
Yep,
that's true.
Someone writes a song you like, you try to write a song.
We also just really like to play music because it's
yeah.
fun.
Every night of the week, you can go and have a lot of fun playing music for pretty like not a lot of cost. You know, just cheap drinks.
Yep.
Or water if you want.
You know. Drink water.
And when you guys were on tour, you went to places, you said, like Pittsburgh,
yeah.
And what kind of reception do you get as a Milwaukee band in other cities?
People love it.
It was really good. Yeah. this last tour was really good.
It was
like
kind of like
shows.
The paving paving the way for hopefully more tours. We can come back next time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we had a single off show, something like 18 nights in a row. And every single night I felt like was a great show.
I thought so too.
That we really, you know, we played well and we're just had huge energy.
People are just excited to see somebody who's like not their neighbor who they see all the time. And mm-hmm. so you get like an automatic like, oh, this is crazy. You're all the way over here. Let's hang out and be friends. And then they just treat you really, really wonderfully. And you can like get to know them so well. It takes like an hour and then like you feel like you've known this person or people, or 20 people.
Especially when they let you sleep at their house on the floor.
Mm-hmm. And make you mm-hmm. waffles in the morning.
With their cats.
Alex, with this record, you did the mixing, right?
I did, yeah. It was an interesting thing for me to do because I'd never done it before. But I took like a free course on the internet and it helped a lot. And plus, Jack studied that, so he helped as well with the mixing.
So was that a cool learning experience?
Yeah, I mean, I went to school out in Madison for music production, and then that's kind of like where I got my like early start doing a lot of recording my own stuff. Anyways, like I just used all the studio time I had to start recording my own albums. So when I was going back in with Alex, it was kind of just reminiscent of that. Like it's never been something that's like far away from my life, so it feels pretty normal to be recording stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For me, like I definitely there's now a lot of things that I will do differently the next time we record.
For sure. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I mean.
So you already have this one brand new song, the new song, I think it's called.
That new song. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what else do you have coming up? Are you're going to be doing more touring this summer?
We're kind of talking about September going out west to Denver. Yeah, hopefully a new album. We're going to release that new song.
Well, we're running out of time, but thank you so much, Lousy Childs, for coming in. Actually, before we go, people want to follow you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Facebook
or just www.lousychilds.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, lousychilds.bandcamp.com. You can download our album there.
For free.
For free.
Cool.
Awesome. Or if you want a physical copy, we'll mail it to you.
We will.
And I'll put a pair of socks in there for you or something.
Thanks for having us. Sorry.
It's been wonderful to have you, Lousy Childs, in the WUWM studio. Thank you so much.
Thank you. This song's called The Cave.
Unless you wanna throw me at something, and I.